There is no person that God cannot save. There is no promise that God will not keep. There is nothing that our God cannot do. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus called, when he chose those original disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So if you are following Christ, you are fishing for men. You are catching men and women and boys and girls alive for Christ. If you're not fishing, you're not following, because when you're following Jesus and walking with him, you will be his witness. So, making disciples, the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven are in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority is given in heaven and on earth, and it has been given to me. And go therefore and make disciples," there it is, "of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We witness that today. We keep doing what Jesus has commanded us and called us to do. And then verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold," or "lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." Some translations give it "the end of the earth," the best translation, "to the end of the age." As long as there is time, we will keep taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, till the end of times. We are making disciples, then we are marking disciples in believers' baptism. This is the testimony of our faith. We are maturing disciples, teaching them to observe the things of Christ and how to walk with Christ. And we are multiplying disciples. Because what God has called every church to do, and every pastor to do, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to fulfill this call, this commandment that he has given to every Christian. And that is to multiply to the ends of the earth. You know, healthy churches, along with healthy Christians, multiply. And when you read the story of the New Testament church in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, you see how it was not just addition of new members and new Christians, but it was multiplication. It was a veritable evangelism explosion, as one would tell one, and two would tell four, and four would tell eight, and so on. This is the magnificent work of the church, making disciples. And you are to be a disciple maker, because God has called every one of us, our supreme king, the king supreme, our commander in chief, has given us as his church, as his people, our marching orders. And we are to march off the map. There's a wonderful thing here that is promised. This command is not only a command, but it is a promise. The command is linked with a promise, because remember, Jesus will never ask you to do anything that he will not enable you and empower you to do. I know some of you are already nervous when we start talking about witnessing and sharing your faith, but God will never ask you or call you or command you to do anything that he will not enable you to do. So Jesus said, "I am with you. As you are going in this world, sharing the gospel, I'm with you all the way to the end. I'm with you all the way to the finish line." And so God has called every Christian and has commanded us all to make disciples. So the first point, and I've already kind of entered point one, and that is, who is making disciples? Who is making disciples? Well, the who is you. If you are a Christ follower, you are speaking Jesus. You're talking about Jesus. We talk about things we get excited about. I love winning people to Jesus. That's what really fires me up. And it embarrasses me sometimes that I can talk more about the Rangers winning the World Series than I may have talked about Jesus. So I want to challenge every one of you and remind each one of us that if you're excited There's an old Gaither song, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. And so we get excited about sharing Jesus. And when you've been with Jesus, they tried to shut up the disciples and shut down the witness of the church in the early days. They told them, never speak the name of Jesus again. And those disciples, the apostle John and Peter, said, we cannot help but speak of what we've seen and heard. We all speak Jesus because we have experienced his life, his love in our lives. So the who is you. Unfortunately, in many cases, the Great Commission has become the great omission. You know what? There are sins of commission, those things that we do that we ought not to do. Somebody asked a little boy in a Sunday school class, what's the sins of commission and what's the sins of omission? He said, well, the sin of commission is when you do the things, you commit sins that you ought not to commit. And the sin of omission is when you don't commit sins that you wish you could. No, the sin of omission, the Bible says, he who knows what is right and doesn't do it has sinned against God. And that's James 4:17. We're often sinfully silent. Silence is not golden. Silence sometimes is just plain yellow. And what God needs to do is to give us courage and boldness. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. The same God that sent his Son into the world that we celebrate every day, but at this season of the year, the same Father who sent the Son to seek and to save the lost, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The same God who sent Jesus is sending you in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, to speak his dear name. And not only with our lives, but with our lips, we are to verbally and personally share our faith. And you think, well, I'm just not equipped, I'm not able, I don't have the ability to do that. Yes, you do. If you are saved, you can be a witness. The only ability you need is availability. And maybe some expendability that goes along with that, that you're willing to do what God has called you to do. In this passage, he says, look, all authority is given unto me. All power is given. All authority. What does that mean? That we have the authority of Jesus Christ. When it says all authority has been given unto me, it means that he is Lord of all, that he is Lord of life, and he has the authority to send us and then not only to save us, but then send us and then to make us his ambassadors. The who is you. And you may be thinking, who? Me? Yes, you. And you and you and you and you and you. We are God's plan to reach the world with the gospel until he comes again. There's no plan B. When he gave those disciples, those original disciples, that great commission that has been passed along to us, you know, if someone had raised their hand and, you know, they're looking slack-jawed into heaven and wondering what's next and just trying to process all of this. They've seen the resurrected Christ. They've been to the cross, heard of what Christ had done. They've seen the risen Christ. And now, before their very eyes, they're standing eyes wide open as Christ has ascended. And he's given us these last words, this testimony of Christ that we should take to the world. And so they're thinking, how can we do this? They're thinking, where is the world? They didn't even know that most of the world existed. They had no transportation really to get to the world. They had no technology. They had so very little. I often think they had so very little, they turned the world upside down according to the scriptures. We have so very much. And what are we doing with it? Well, God is using people. He uses technology, he uses programming, he uses things and buildings and all the rest. But he uses you and me. And what a privilege this is. Because each one of us, if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, you are made for this mission. Amen. And as a Jesus follower, filled with the Holy Spirit. You can do this. You're better than you think. You're more than you could possibly imagine. Now, I know some of you have never even tried to bring a person to faith in Jesus Christ. I mean personally. You've given your money, and thank God that you've been faithful in your giving and you served in many ways. But upwards to 95% of professing Christians have never had the experience of personally inviting and leading a person to faith in Jesus Christ. And most of the time it's because of fear or some kind of anxiety or maybe frustration. Maybe you tried it and it didn't work out. So you are reluctant. You're reluctant to tell your family members. And I know many people have friends. You have friends that you've never talked to about Jesus. Now, God understands and knows our fears and our frustrations. So that's why he gives us a promise. He gives us this promise that when you do this, I will be with you. There's a special sense in which the Lord is with us when we, by faith, take a step to give a bold witness of the gospel. Amen? And there's incredible joy in sharing Jesus. The Bible tells us that when one lost soul comes to faith in Jesus Christ, all of heaven explodes with praise to God and joy. There's joy in the presence of God. God himself is celebrating when one person comes to faith in Christ. It's never about the crowd. It's always about the one person, the one family that comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And so if that brings joy in heaven, what do you think that's going to do in your heart and your life? It's going to bring incredible joy. You know, the happiest Christians I know are soul-winning Christians, full of gratitude to God. And therefore, we just can't help but spill out and praise God and speak the name of Jesus. Love Jesus, share the gospel, have fun. That's what I'm telling you this morning. You know, the upright get so uptight when we talk about sharing the faith, but a little child shall lead them. And a little child can bring people to Jesus, and so can you. So can you say, well, I'm not all that equipped. I'm not trained. Well, you need to get trained, and you should learn all you can, but you don't have to wait around to take some course or some class or get some method down before you start sharing Jesus. Just tell people what Jesus has done in your life. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Paul went everywhere just saying, I met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He changed my life. Now, sometimes people ask, well, should I share my faith with my life, with my example, or with my words? The answer is yes. Yes, both and. That's like two wings of the airplane. They're both important. So many times our example compromises our witness, and so it's a motivation for each one of us to share our faith that we would pray that God's Spirit would cleanse us and prepare us and make us usable for him. I said availability. Another one would maybe we should speak of usability, because God wants to use us and he will use us. But our example needs to be strong. Many people, of course, reject Christ because they've seen so much hypocrisy. Don't be an unbeliever, a non-believer's alibi or excuse for not receiving or knowing Christ. When we know Jesus, everything has changed. The way we speak, our language changes. Our lives change. What we do changes. And people see that. And look, you are the only Bible, the only New Testament that some people are going to read. You're a walking, talking Bible to so many people. And therefore, live your faith and love people and share with people faithfully this good news of what Christ has done in your life. So that's the who and the who is you, and the what is it we're to make disciples? Where are we to share the gospel? Everywhere we go. Literally, when Jesus said, go into all the world, it's written in the language of the New Testament, which says, as you are going, or on your way, witness, as you are going, wherever you go. And he said, go into all the world. Personalize that. Go into all of your world. You have a world. You have a sphere of influence. And in your world, in your circle of friendships and relationships, this is your world. We're to take the gospel globally, but we're to share the gospel personally with family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and classmates and people that we meet along the way. And there are divine appointments waiting for us every single day if we will just be alert and be awakened to the opportunities that we have. David Shivers is a bold witness for the Lord, and you know that if you've been around David. And I asked David, you know, what's your method? What's your mission? How do you keep doing this? And David sent me a text, and he said, every day, often before my feet hit the floor, I pray, Lord, thank you for today. That's a good place to start. Lord, thank you for this day. Another day of life. Secondly, thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you every day. Preach the gospel to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation, for saving me from my sin and giving me the gift of eternal life. And then he prays one more thing. Again, before he ever gets up, Lord, help me to share this incredible gift with someone today. All around us are people who are lost and dying and on their way to judgment and hell. We walk by them. All around us are broken people, hurting people who need Jesus in their lives. And often, unfortunately, because we don't pray, all of this begins with concern, doesn't it? It all begins with caring. You gotta care to share. That sounds like a Christian cliche, but it's true. You got to care first. Before evangelism and sharing the gospel is a program, it's a passion that is in your heart. And if you will begin to pray, God will give you a burden to fight spiritual battles every day and to win people from Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of God. Amen? Look, the kingdom of Jesus is unstoppable. This is why Jesus said, go to the ends of the earth, to the end of time. Just keep going and going and going and going and going until we're done. He said, occupy till I come. He said to all of us, you know what that means? Occupy till I come. That means take care of business until I come again. Make sure that you're doing what God has called you to do. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. Well, that's probably good. We need people in the business sector, in the education sector. We need people all over the world, in your world, sharing the gospel. And in many ways, you can be more effective than I am. I mean, people know I'm a preacher. They think, well, he's paid to say all that stuff. But you are a satisfied customer. You are someone who knows Jesus. You say, well, I'm not David Shivers. I just don't have that kind of personality. Okay. But be the best version of you. You be a witness for Christ, and God will use your testimony, but you got to care. You got to be concerned. You have to be willing to let God use you, because this is an all-inclusive command. No one gets to opt out. All of you. God loves all people. He died for everyone, not just a few, not just the elect. Jesus died for all, for God so loved the world. And so no one is excluded. Everyone is included. And that means that all people are lost without Jesus, but there's not one person who is not loved by Jesus. And when we love people because we love Jesus, then we will see Jesus change people's lives. Every day, we can tell people what Christ has done for us. And, you know, this gospel is to go to every person in the world, and that's why we give and go in mission opportunities. Every race, every religion, every color, every creed, every language, every lifestyle, everyone in the world needs Jesus. All 6 billion people in the world need Jesus. And why should people hear the gospel multiple times when so many people have never heard the gospel even one time? But I'll guarantee you this, most of the people that we live with every single day in good old God bless Texas, America, still in this place, used to be the buckle of the Bible Belt, we said, and yet most people, are you listening? Most people in your circle of influence have never, ever heard a clear witness of the gospel of Christ, how to be saved, the grace of God, the salvation, the cross, and what it means, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God has called you to do. This is the heartbeat of God for the world. I saw an article a number of years ago in the Houston Chronicle, and it was a photo with the article of an older woman with her chest, or rather her ear on the chest of a young man in the hospital room. She was bent over, her face, her head down on the chest of that young man. And the article went on to describe what was happening there. The woman's child had died. The child's heart was now in the heart of this patient. And she bent down to listen to the heart of her son beating in the heart of another human being. And when you see that, you have to think that if we could just hear the heart of God, if we could, like the Apostle John at the Last Supper, put our head over on the chest of Jesus as he leaned over upon him and hear the heartbeat of God for a lost and broken world, if we could just get that heart, that's where it starts. It starts in the heart of God. And God has poured out his love in us by the Holy Spirit. And we're to do this as long as God gives us breath and God gives us life. Why make disciples? We are motivated by the fact that we want to glorify God in doing this and honor God and obey God and to show our love for God and to revive our hearts and to grow the church. Soul-winning, evangelistic, witnessing churches are growing churches. The reasons that so many churches do not grow, they dry and die. The old saying is, we will either evangelize or we'll fossilize. And the reason that so many churches are dead or and or dying, no evangelism, no witness. The people are not prepared. The people are not equipped, starting in the pulpit so often. So God grows the church. Be in a church that's going and therefore growing in the witness of the gospel. Your faith is too good to keep. It is too good to keep. And how do we make disciples? Again, by caring and sharing, living out the gospel. Here's what the Apostle Paul said, and I'll close with this. He said, we proclaim Christ. This is Colossians 1:28, Philip's paraphrase. We proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet, and we teach everyone we can all that we know about him, so that, if possible, we may bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. This is what we do. Why we do it is because God has commanded us. That's good enough for me. Amen. Jesus said, do it. And if I'm not doing it, then I'm disobeying my commander and chief. So do it and keep doing it, church. So many of you are so effective and so heartfelt in your work and your witness of the gospel. If you're not dead, so the last place is, the last point is how are we to do it, where are we to do it, and when are we to do it? We're to do it now. Don't wait till your loved one dies without Christ before you tell them who Jesus is and how he can change them. Don't wait till your neighbor's marriage and family blows up until you tell them how Jesus could put their family and their life back together. In the emergency and urgency of these times, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. For such a time as this, God has raised up this church and God has raised up you as a Christian, like Hadassah, the queen, Esther's story. For such a time as this. This is why our church is still here. This is the only reason we're still here. And if you want to know the truth, it's the only reason I'm still here. I keep showing up and doing this because I want to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to see the church get up and get out and go in Jesus' name and reach the world with the gospel of Christ. And so I say to myself, I say to you, if you're not dead, you're not done. Amen. Keep going. March off the map. Keep doing what God has called you. And just, you know, I like to say it this way. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who will save anybody who puts their faith and trust in him. And his name is Jesus.